see, it's time for...
All sweet.
Did you hear what the lady said?
I said, all sweet. All sweet is the margarine with the delicate natural flavor.
Yes, friends, that's what all the ladies are saying. All sweet. The margarine with the delicate natural flavor. Swift, all sweet margarine invites you to meet the meat. It's evening in the little white house with the green shutters. Mortimer Meek, whom we laughingly refer to as the head of the family, has just settled himself in a comfortable chair and opened the cover of a book as Agatha comes in from the kitchen.
What are you reading, Mortimer?
The Manual of Modern Business Methods in Theory and at Work by J. Guilford Bott.
My goodness, that title sounds awfully dull.
Well, compared to the rest, the title's red hot.
Well, then, put it down.
Well, I can't put it down, Agatha. I promised Mr. Barker I'd read it.
But, Mortimer, it's time to go.
Go?
Yes, tonight's the night you promised you'd drive me out to the farmer's market to get some things for canning.
Well, Agatha, I'm afraid that's out now.
Mortimer, you promised.
I know, dear, but that was before J. Guilford Bott came into the life of Walter Barker and company.
What are you talking about?
Oh, the author of this dull book, J. Guilford Bott.
Oh.
Yes, Mr. Barker just got Mr. Bott for a client, and he's coming into the office day after tomorrow. And Barker wants this book on his desk when he calls, so that we can refer to it and show Mr. Bott that we have read it.
But what about the farmer's market, Mortimer? If I don't get there this evening, I won't have anything to can.
If I don't read this book, Mr. Barker will have something to can, namely me.
Oh, but if Mr. Bott isn't going to call on you until day after tomorrow, you can read it tomorrow night, can't you?
Well, I... Please... Oh, well, I guess I could skim through enough of this book tomorrow night to satisfy Barker and Botchy.
Of course you could.
All right, dear, I'll go with you. But let me see now. Where can I put this book so it'll be safe?
Safe?
Yes.
Why, just leave it here on the table. Who'd touch a book with a title like The Manual of Modern Business Methods in Theory and at Work? Certainly not Peggy.
And certainly not Louie. He wouldn't even dare come that close to the word work. I guess you're right, dear. It'll be safe on the table.
I'll go put my hat on, Mortimer. And you get the car out of the garage.
Yes, here, I will.
Is that so?
Yes, that's so.
Huh?
Well, all I can say, Jill, is that it's a fine thing. Oh, hello, Dad.
Hello, Mr. Meek.
Well, hello, Peggy. Evening, Jill.
Is that so?
What do you hear? Isn't everything going as usual with you two?
Well, sure, Daddy.
Oh, but I thought I heard you quarreling.
Well, that's usual.
Oh, I see.
Going out, Daddy?
Yes. Remember the little pig who went to market?
Yes.
Well, your Uncle Louie couldn't go, so your mother's taking me. See you later, girl.
Bye, Daddy.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Meek.
Now, you listen to me, Jill Donovan. Are we bosom friends or aren't we?
Well, sure we are.
But haven't I always loaned you any book I had that you wanted to read?
Yes, but you...
Now, I want to borrow The Terror of Skull's Head Gulch from you, and you won't lend it to me.
But, ye Peg, I can't lend it to you. I've got to have this book back in my father's bookcase by the time he gets home from his business trip day after tomorrow. Now, you know that.
Oh, he'll never even notice that it's gone.
Well, yes, he will. Ever since he told me I couldn't read any more mystery books, he checks his bookcase every time he comes home.
But what if the book is gone?
He'll cut off my allowance for 6 months, that's all. Besides, it's an old book and it's out of print.
But I can have it finished by the time you get back.
Oh, how can you?
I have 2 hours of study period in school tomorrow. I can read most of it then.
Not if Dr. Furmis sees you, you can.
Gee, that's right. Dr. Furmis will be substituting for the study hall teacher, won't he?
Well, if he can remember the way to the study hall.
Wait, I know what. What? I'll take the cover off The Terror of Skull's Head Gulch and put another one on. Dr. Furmis will never suspect what I'm reading. Oh, come on, Jill. You've just got to lend me that book.
Oh, but Peggy,
you
I
said you thought it was the best mystery story you'd ever read.
Oh, it is. It's wonderful. Read. Oh, it is. It's wonderful. Read. Oh, it is. It's wonderful. Read. Oh, it is. It's wonderful. Read. Oh, it is. It's wonderful. I couldn't put it down after I read the first... I couldn't put it down after I read the first paragraph. No one could. Paragraph? No one could. Just listen to it, Peggy.
Okay. Paralyzed with fear, Francine stood in the dark and musty room of the old house, unaware of the hairy claw-like hand that snaked out from behind the silken curtain and groped for her beautiful white throat. Before she could move, the curse of Skull's Head Gulch had claimed another victim.
Oh, gosh, that's spooky. Go on, Jill. What happens next?
You see? I told you you couldn't stop after you read the first paragraph.
Then why did you read it to me?
I thought you had more sense of character.
Well, I haven't. Now you've just got to lend it to me. Please, Jill. I'll finish the book and have it back to you by tomorrow afternoon.
Promise?
Promise.
Okay, here.
Oh, gee, you're a pal.
Stop licking my hand. I gotta get home. See you at school tomorrow, Peg.
Bye, Jill.
Boy, that sounds like a terrific book. Now, what cover can I put on it so I can read it in the study hall? Oh, here's one on the table.
The Manual of Modern Business Methods in Theory and at Work.
Happy thought. That's just the kind of a cover I need for the Terror of Skullhead Gulch. So, I'll take the cover off this business book and put it on the mystery book. And put the mystery book cover on the business book. There! Now I ask you, Peggy, is there anything wrong with that? And I answer you, Peggy, no, it's perfect.
Now, that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow makes a wonderful story. But I think you'll agree that a real honest-to-goodness treasure is much more worthwhile. For instance, a trip to your grocer's to pick up some all-sweet margarine is one of the most rewarding treasure hunts you can go on. Of course, all-sweet has an edge on other treasures because it's so wonderfully economical. Why, when you use all-sweet regularly for cooking, baking, and as a delicious, nourishing table spread, you notice a big saving on your budget right away. And using all-sweet means economy the pleasant way. You'll know just how pleasant when you taste all-sweet's delicate, natural flavor melting into a lush baked potato. When you spread all-sweet on your favorite bread. And remember, all-sweet spread generously from crust to crust actually doubles the food energy of a slice of bread. And for flavor that's way out of this world, try melting all-sweet on hot rolls, pancakes, and waffles. Yes, you'll get a real treasure when you buy all-sweet. The margarine with the delicate natural flavor.
Meek.
Yes, Mr. Barker.
What are you and Mrs. Meek doing next Friday night?
Next Friday night? Well,
I'll tell you.
Thank you.
You and Mrs. Meek are coming to my house to play bridge.
We are. Well, I didn't know that.
You know it now.
Well, but I thought you always played bridge with Mr. and Mrs. Donovan on Friday night.
We did until last Friday night when Donovan trumped my ace.
Ooh, what happened?
He trumped my ace, so I trumped his.
Huh?
Then he trumped my eye, so I trumped his.
Ooh.
As a result of the trumping and thumping, we're not speaking to each other anymore.
My gracious. Well, thank you, Mr. Barker. Agatha and I'd love to come.
Well, that's that.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, Meek, are you ready for our visit from J. Guilford Botts tomorrow?
Yes, I'm ready.
Fine, then you finished reading his book.
I have? I mean, I haven't exactly finished it.
Well, see that you do tonight.
Yes, sir.
Have you read the chapter on the inverted system of under-merchandising?
The chapter on the inverted system of merchandising? Well, no, I haven't gotten that far.
You haven't got that far?
No, sir.
Meek.
Yes, Mr. Barker.
The chapter on the inverted system of under-merchandising is the first chapter.
First chapter?
You haven't even looked at the book yet, have you?
Oh, yes, sir. I've looked at it.
Meek, I'm warning you to have that book read by the time J. Guilford Botts comes to the office tomorrow so you can discuss it as intelligently as I can, if such a thing is possible.
Well, I'll try, Mr. Barker.
I'll try, Mr. Barker. By George, the next time I have an assignment for a stupid, lame-brained idiot, I'll do it myself.
And then Buck Bullock, the private eye, turned to the sniveling gunman and snapped, "I'm as tough as tenpenny nails and smart as a whip. I know who killed Francine." And at that very moment, the stranger walked up to him and said,
"Well, well."
Dr. Furmish.
Miss Meek, from my desk at the front of the study hall, I noticed how absorbed you were in the book you're reading, and I came back here to congratulate you on your concentration.
Why, thank you, Dr. Furmish.
Not at all. May I see to which book you are so diligently applying yourself?
Oh, you wouldn't want to see this book.
No, but I would. What is the title? The Manual of Modern Business Methods in Theory and at Work. Oh, Miss Meek, aren't you a little out of your water?
No, sir, I don't have swimming until noon.
No, 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 what I mean is, I've read it. Isn't the subject matter a little mysterious, difficult to catch?
Yes, but they'll catch him, I'm sure.
Huh?
I mean...
Personally, I found it so fascinating I couldn't put it down.
That's just the way it hit me.
Only one chapter eluded me. As I recall, it was chapter 10. Can you explain chapter 10?
Chapter 10?
Yes.
Oh, that's the one where Buck Bullock, private detective, is caught in a gas-filled room.
What?
I mean, it's...
Strange, I don't remember that part. As I recall, it was a discussion of the reverse ratio theory. Let me see the book, Miss Lee.
Oh, but...
The book, please.
Yes, Dr. Thurman.
As I remember, Mr. Bott started his book with a discussion of the inverted system of under-merchandising. Yes, here it is. Paralyzed with fear, Francine stood in the dark and musty room of the old house, unaware of the hairy claw-like hand that snaked out from behind the... What? What did you say?
I didn't say anything, Dr. Furness.
Since when did modern business methods develop a hairy claw-like hand?
Since I changed the cover of the book, I guess, Dr. Furness.
Oh, I see what you've done. Oh, Miss Meek, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Yes, sir, I am, a little.
This study period is to be used for study, not for wading in gruesome trash.
Yes, sir.
This is a very serious offense. I must speak to your father about
it. All right, Dr. Furness, but may I please have the book back now?
Have it back? Of course not.
But you've got to. What about Jill Donovan?
Who's Jill Donovan?
Well, she's Mr. Donovan's daughter.
No.
And now he'll find out about it.
You mean he didn't know?
No.
Oh.
You see, the Terror of Skull's Head Gulch belongs to him.
No.
And he keeps it in his bookcase.
He's what in his bookcase?
It's her.
Huh?
And when he finds out she took it out, he'll cut off her allowance.
Oh, good heavens, child. I think his reading has affected your mind.
Will you please give me back the book?
I most definitely will not.
Oh.
I'm going to read it myself. I'd like to find out why they write this trash. I'd like to find out why you read this trash. And I'd like to find out who killed Francine.
Coming.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Meek.
Oh, hello, Jill.
Mrs. Meek, is Peggy home from school yet?
Well, I haven't seen her, dear. Is there anything I can do for you?
Well, I loaned Peggy a book yesterday, and I gotta have it back.
Oh.
It belongs to my father, and he's getting home from a business trip tonight and says tomorrow morning.
What's the name of the book, Jill?
The Terror of Skull's Head Gulch.
My goodness, the things you young folks read.
Yes, ma'am.
Wait a minute. I think I saw that book right here on the living room table.
Oh, you did?
Uh-huh, now, just a minute.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Here you are, Jill.
Oh, boy, am I glad to get this. If Peggy hadn't gotten it back to me, I'd really have been in trouble.
Well, now you didn't have a thing to worry about, Jill. You know Peggy well enough to know she wouldn't get you or anyone else into trouble.
Well, what with Peggy and Agatha over to concert at Middleburg and Louie at the Three Cushion Club? I guess the house is quiet enough now to catch up on my reading. Yeah, where's that book by Jay Guilford? Bah. Let's see now, I left it on the living room table.
Hi, Morty.
Oh, Louie. Why, I thought you just left for the Three Cushion Club.
I ran into Dr. Furmish outside, and he asked me to give you this book.
Book? What book?
Well, this one. The Manual of Modern Business Methods in Theory and at Work. What a title.
Well, for goodness sake, how did Dr. Furmish get hold of this book? I left it on the living room table.
I don't know anything about that. Furmish gave me the book and told me to tell you he could see why Peggy enjoyed it so much.
Huh? Well, what's he talking about? Peggy couldn't enjoy this book. Nobody could. It's heavy stuff, Louie. Much too heavy.
Yeah, I had a little trouble carrying it upstairs.
Well, now, take the opening chapter, for example. The theory about the inverted system of under-merchandising.
The what it... system of under which?
Now, listen. Here's how it starts. Paralyzed with fear, Francine stood in the dark and musty room of the old house, unaware of the hairy claw, like you call it.
Hey, that sounds pretty good for a business book.
Business book, nothing. Louis, this is the Terror of Skull's Head Gulch. This is only the cover of the business book.
Well, wouldn't it sell more copies if they did it the other way?
Louis, there's been a terrible mistake. Help me find the other book. I can't tell Mr. Barker that I didn't read it.
Why, Morty? Will he be mad?
Mad? Louis, he'll make the Terror of Skull's Head Gulch look like a schoolgirl in a marshmallow roast. Only he'll use me for the marshmallow. No use, Louie. We've looked everywhere. I guess there's nothing we can do until Agatha comes home from the concert over in Middleburg. She must have put it somewhere for safekeeping.
Well, in that case, I'll just run back to the Three Cushion Club. There's still time for a couple of games. I'll see you later, Morty.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Now, what am I going to do? Well... No sense worrying about the book until Agatha gets here. Guess I might as well find something else to read. I wonder what that hairy claw-like hand did do to Francine. And then, Buck Bullet, the private eye, turned to the sniveling gunman and snapped. I'm as tough as tenpenny nails and smart as a whip. I know who killed Francine. And at that moment, the stranger walked up and said...
Hey, Morty.
What? Oh, hello, Louis.
What's the matter with you?
Oh, for a minute, I confused you with another monster. Oh, you're back from the Three Cushion Club early, aren't you?
Early?
Louis, what are you doing in your nightshirt? Well, I've been sleeping in it. At the Three Cushion Club?
Of course not. I've been sleeping upstairs in my own bed. Ain't you never going to go to sleep, Morty?
I'm waiting for Agatha to come home from the concert. I've got to find out what she did with that book by J. Guilford Bott.
Morty, I told you. Aggie phoned and said that the concert in Middleburg had lasted so late that Peggy and her was going to stay over and come home in the morning. I told you that 3 hours ago.
Huh? 3 hours ago? Well, what time is it?
About
4 a.m.
Well, that pale yellow thing in the sky with the stars around it ain't green cheese.
Oh, my gracious. I got so interested in the terror of Skull's Head Gulch, I forgot everything. Louis, where's Agatha staying in Middleburg?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know?
Well, all she said was she was going to stay there tonight and do some shopping over there in the morning and come home about noon tomorrow.
Oh, but noon will be too late. J. Guilford Bott is calling on Mr. Barker at 11:30, and Mr. Barker wants that book on his desk when Mr. Bott arrives, and the copy I had was the only one in town. Louis, what am I going to do?
That's what I've been wondering, Morty. What are you going to do?
There's only one thing I can do.
Yeah, what's that?
I'll put this cover from Bott's book on business right back on the Terror of Skull's Head Gulch. Take it to the office with me and just hope that Mr. Barker doesn't discover the difference.
Do you think it'll work, Morty?
Well, I don't know. But you better pray that it does, Louis. You better pray. Because if it doesn't work, I won't work either. And, Louis, that means that you will have to. You hear me, Louis?
Oh, please don't talk to me, Morty. Can't you see I'm praying?
If you've ever tried reading a long paragraph minus the punctuation, you know that the results come out pretty lopsided. And whether you ever thought of it this way or not, meals need punctuation, too. Sure, you put your meat course in meaningful quote marks when you serve it topped with extra good gravy. A tasty salad is a welcome comma between the appetizer and the main course. And for an exclamation mark that's sure to call forth exclamations of delight from your family, be sure to have all sweet margarine melting in baked potatoes and over your vegetables. And, of course, you'll want plenty of all sweet on the table to spread on bread, toast, or hot rolls. Yes, you'll want to enjoy plenty of all sweet's delicate, natural flavor. And remember, all sweet has oodles and oodles of marvelous food energy, too. In fact, Swift and Company, real nutrition geniuses, fortify every delicious pound of all sweet with at least 15,000 units of valuable vitamin A. And to top off all these plus values, all sweet is wonderfully economical, too. Yes, your budget, your family, and you yourself will cheer when you serve all sweet, the margarine with the delicate natural flavor.
Good morning, Meek. How are you? Meek, wake up.
Get your hairy claw-like hand off of me.
Huh?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Barker. I must have dozed off.
Sleeping on the job, eh, Meek?
But you see, I was up all night reading.
Oh, stayed up all night to read J. Guilford Bott's book before he got here this morning, eh?
Well, I did.
In that case, Meek, I won't reprimand you for sleeping. Well, Mr. Bott should be here any minute. By the way, where's the book?
The book?
Yes, the book. Where is it?
Where is it?
Are you getting hard of hearing, or is there an echo in this room?
Well, I...
Ah, there's the book. Hand it to me, Meek.
Uh-huh.
There's a passage in the first chapter I want to look at to refresh my memory.
Goodbye, Mr. Barker.
Meek, where are you going?
Where am I going? Well, I thought I'd go up to the roof and look at the lightning rod.
Sit down, Meek. Lightning is not apt to strike just now.
Want a bet?
Don't be childish. Now, where was I? Oh, yes, the opening of chapter one. Paralyzed with fear, Francine stood in the dark and musty room of the old house. What? Speak! What is this? What is this?
The Terror of Skull's Head Gulch.
The what? Where is J. Guilford book? Bott's book?
I lost it.
Lost it?
Yes, I just put it down on my living room table, and when I went back for it, it was gone, and this other book was inside of its cover.
Meek, you are the most dismal excuse for a human being that ever walked on two legs.
Thank you, Mr. Barker.
I could strangle you with my bare...
Hey, telephone ringing.
Hello? Walter J. Barker speaking. What? He's here now? All right. Show me to my office. I'll be right in there. Now you've done it. You sniveling worm. J. Guilford Bott is here. What am I going to do?
Well?
Shut up.
But?
Shut up. I've got an idea.
Goody.
If I hadn't picked up this book and looked inside, I'd never have known the difference, would I?
Well, you know, sir.
I'd have thought it was Bott's book on business, wouldn't I?
Yes, sir.
Well, perhaps if we put the cover back on it, we can fool Mr. Bott.
But...
And that's just what we'll do. Come on, Meek. And if Bott mentions his book, for heaven's sake, change the subject.
Why?
Because I didn't read it either.
Mother and I stayed in Middleburg last night. Oh, Jill, can you ever forgive me for what I did to you?
I can if you'll give me my book back. All I've got is the cover and a moldy book on business practice written by a drip named Bach.
I put the cover on that book, Jill. Mother gave it to you by mistake.
Well, it was lucky I discovered before my father did, or I wouldn't get any allowance for 6 months.
You won't get it anyway, Jill.
What? Why not?
Because I lost your book.
You what?
It was confiscated.
Huh?
Dr. Fermi took it away from me in study hall yesterday and wouldn't give it back.
Oh, I knew something like this would happen. Now what'll I do?
Hey, Lisa. Hello, Jill.
Hello, Uncle Lou.
Oh.
Hey, what's the matter? What are you and Jill looking so sad about?
It's about the book Dr. Fermi took away from me in study hall yesterday.
Oh, what about it?
Jill has to get it back into her father's bookcase before he finds out it's missing.
But I can't get it back because Dr. Furmish has it.
Hey, Furmish ain't got that book.
He hasn't?
No, he gave it to me and I gave it to Morty. Morty sat up all night reading it.
Well, then it must be around the house here somewhere.
No, Morty took it with him to work this morning.
What? Uncle Louie, are you sure?
Positive.
Come on then, Jill. Let's get right down to my father's office and get it before Daddy gets you in trouble.
Well, I see you have a copy of my book on your desk, Mr. Barker.
Oh, yes, Mr. Barker.
Yes, Mr. Barker.
I always keep it here to refer to.
And you read it, eh? Good, good, good. I'd like to get your opinion, Van Meek's here, of my discussion of the obverse law of supply and demand.
The obverse law of supply and demand.
Yes.
Well, I agree with Meek's point of view on that. We see eye to eye. How about it, Meek?
Eh?
Eye to eye, eh, Meek?
Oh, yes. Speaking of eyes, Mr. Botch, I was reading about eyes just the other day.
And speaking of reading, Mr. Meek, brings us back to my book. Now, what do you think of my chapter on the overwarm approach?
Speaking of warmth, it's as warm as a pressure cooker in here.
And speaking of pressure...
What do you think of my chapter on high-pressure selling? Perhaps you'd rather not talk about my book.
Oh, no.
Not very modest of me. Go on, change the subject.
Change the subject, Meek.
Tell me, Mr. Bott, have you read any good books lately?
Only my own, Mr. Meek. And speaking of my book, I'd like to show you what I meant by my inverted system of under-merchandising. Hand me the book from your desk, Mr. Barker.
Yeah, hand me the book. Oh, my goodness, look at the time. Time for lunch.
Well, so it is.
What's that?
What the devil's going on in your office, Meek?
Yeah, I don't know, Mr. Barker.
Oh, there you are, Father.
We must see you, Mr. Meek.
Now, girls, I'm busy.
But, Father, you'll simply have to have the terror of Skull's Head Gulch.
The what?
Uncle Louis said you brought it to the office.
Meek, put adhesive tape on her mouth.
Peggy, will you please go away?
But I've got to have my book back, Mr. Meek. Peggy, look, there's the terror.
Where?
There.
No, that's Mr. Bott.
What?
No, there, Mr. Bott is dead.
Yes, sir, that's Jill's book.
I'm afraid you're mistaken, young lady. That's my book, the one I wrote. The Manual of Modern Business Methods in Theory and at Work.
It may be the cover to your book, but underneath, it's the Terror of Skull's Head Gulch.
What? Let me see.
Meek, we both better go and inspect that lightning rod.
Paralyzed fear. Francine stood in the dark, musty room of the old house. Unaware of the hairy claw that...
That's it, all right.
What's the meaning of this?
Well, you see, I...
My book, indeed.
But, Mr. Bott...
Barker... Thanks to these young ladies, I found out what kind of man you are.
But, I
wouldn't give one cent of my business to a man who would practice such deceit.
Putting
the cover of my book on the mystery story just to try to impress me, to pretend you're ready. I'm leaving, Mr. Barker, and I'm taking my order with me. Good day, sir.
Well, Meek.
Yes, Mr. Barker.
I don't feel very well. There's just one more thing you can do before I fire you.
What's that, Mr. Barker?
Reserve a room at the nearest hospital.
For you, Mr. Barker?
No, you stupefied stoop. For you. You'll need it.
Now,
Now, don't worry, Mortimer. You can find someone else to work for besides Walter Barker.
Hmm.
And if worse comes to worse, Louis can keep his eyes open for work.
Yeah, well, he won't find it if he keeps training him on the ceiling.
Hello, Mother. I was just over to Donovan's. Jill's very happy she got that book back just before her father came home. I am, too.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you two are happy.
There's the doorbell.
I'll answer it, Mother. Barker.
Is your father at home?
Yes, sir. Won't you come in?
Mr. Barker, I'd better run.
Wait a minute, Dick. I want to talk to you.
What about Mr. Barker?
I just got a call from Mr. Botts. He's going bats.
Huh?
He can't sleep.
Can't sleep? Why not?
Because he's dying to find out what happens after the first paragraph in the terrorist skull's head gulch.
Oh.
He tried to buy a copy everywhere and can't. So he made me a proposition. If I can get him a copy, he'll give me the order he was going to pray for me.
Well, the only copy I know of belongs to Mr. Donovan, Jill's father.
I know, and that's just the point. I want you to borrow it from Donovan.
Why don't you borrow it from Donovan?
Because Donovan and I aren't speaking to each other. I told you that before. You've got to do it, Meek.
Why should Mortimer do you a favor, Mr. Barker, after the way you've treated him?
He'd better do it, Mrs. Meek, or I'll fire him.
You can't.
Why not?
You already have, remember?
Hey, that's right. I'd forgotten. Oh, what am I going to do now?
I have a suggestion, Mr. Barker.
What is it?
Why don't you rehire Mortimer? Then you can threaten to fire him.
By George, you've got the answer, Mrs. Meek. Thank you. Meek, you're rehired.
I am?
And if you don't get me that book in an hour, you're fired.
Oh, well, I can get the book all right.
Good.
But Agatha...
Yes, darling?
Maybe you should stop doing me favors.
For spreading bread from crust to crust, All Sweet margarine is a must. For giving recipes special flavor, creamy All Sweet wins your favor. No, ladies, I haven't turned poet. I'm just giving you the facts. Facts that are mighty important to you flavor-wise, nutrition-wise, and economy-wise. And say, speaking of being wise, you'll be wise to pick up some Lickin' Good All Sweet margarine today. Let the youngsters spread its creamy goodness from crust to crust on their favorite bread. Enjoy it on hot vegetables and in favorite dishes. But always remember, whether you buy yellow All Sweet in solid or quartered pounds, as you may do if you live in one of the states whose laws permit the sale of colored margarine, or the regular white All Sweet, always insist on All Sweet, the margarine with the delicate natural flavor.
That was a lovely evening of bridge we had at the Barkers, wasn't it?
Yes, dear. It was very nice.
You know, dear, I think I'll give a bridge party and invite Walter and Bertie Barker.
It's a good idea.
The only trouble is I never can think of anything to give as a prize. Have you any suggestions, Mortimer?
Well, only one.
Hmm?
I can tell you what not to give as a prize, especially to Mr. Barker.
Oh, what's that?
A book.
What?
Any book, but particularly a book called Terror of Skull's Head Gulch.
Meet the Meek stars Forrest Lewis and Burl Vaughn. Today's script was written by Sherman Marks and produced and directed by Les Weinrot. Be sure to join us over these same stations next Saturday when All Sweet, the margarine with the delicate natural flavor, again invite you to Meet the Meat. This is John Weigel speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.